Hey, citizens of the interweb, you have landed on A Shot and a Beer, a weekly interview podcast featuring chefs, brewers, troublemakers, and heartbreakers. Every week, we're talking food and booze with people who do it for a living. So grab a beer, pour yourself a shot, and come along for the ride. Okay. Hey, San Diego, it's Shot and a Beer, a proud partner of the network of podcasts on A Modern Profession. I did that well, didn't I?
Very well.
Today, on today's episode, I have great hopes for this episode because I have two absolutely lunatic women here with me, Marie Tahan Daniels and Karen Barnett. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
How's everything?
It's getting better. This beer is
again. I got a shot and a beer. I'm doing just fine.
For those of you who don't know, we decided to do this podcast today because there's some things I want to get to. I actually kind of have an agenda in my head, which is either a good or a bad thing. But like always, let's get into a little bit of the getting to know you kind of stuff. One of these ladies I know fairly well, and the other one I don't know as well. So we'll start with, the easy one, but that really is not a good thing to say when you have two women on your podcast. We'll start with the one that I know fairly well, Karen.
I'm the easy one.
Yes, you're the easy one. Karen is the chef and bartender.
And owner at
Small Bar. How are you, KB?
I'm good. A little frazzled from a long day, but I'm good.
You were already bartending today, weren't you?
I bartended and I cooked today.
Oh, my God.
I did both.
You're an owner. You're allowed to hire people to do that sort of thing for you.
Are you investing? Are you investing in me? Because I'll take it.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got to become the queen at the Small Bar Empire. Where did you get your start in food and beverage?
I was in food and beverage about 15 years ago as a waitress. Obviously not too glamorous or at the top, but I kind of learned the customer service, the knowing what a customer wants and just kind of that front of the house feel. Mm-hmm. At the same time, when you're a waitress, you get to know the back of the house and you get to know how they run and how they work together. And it's fun. It can be a fun atmosphere. So fast forward through a couple different careers. I met a man that I married, who I'm no longer married to, but we opened many bars in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I am just at Small Bar now, but Small Bar is the first place that I opened, and I'm very proud of it. 6.5 years.
Oh, you should be very proud of it. It's a terrific bar and has a terrific following.
Thank you.
I learned really the power of Small Bar. Karen and I are doing we're part of a group called the Five Chef Society, and we're doing a dinner there. And because it's at Small Bar and the appeal of the lovely KB, it sold out faster. It sold out actually in a day.
Yeah, less than 24 hours,
yeah,
I think. Yeah,
which is, when you ask people to spend, $60 on a dinner, that's kind of a hard sell sometimes. And it's a terrific little place. What neighborhood is that actually?
University Heights.
Uh-huh. I can never get the delineation between the neighborhoods.
Well, there's a giant sign over the street that says University Heights. So
well, I don't ever come in that way.
Maybe look up.
I went on my first Tinder date at Small Bar.
Really?
Yes.
How'd it go?
How'd that work out for
it
you?
It went swimmingly.
Good.
Maddie scored.
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
Yes. We I haven't spoken to her in a while, but very nice.
Oh, and I would be remiss. The other male voice on this podcast is actually Marie Tahan Daniels. No, the other male voice is our engineer, who is with me as always, Maddie Bird. How are you, Maddie?
I'm very, very well.
Tinder date last night?
No. Well, with comedy, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Shameless comedic plug. We'll edit that out in post. MTD.
Yes.
I met you through
One of the dinners.
Sure. Fucking epic, wasn't it?
Probably, yes.
Tell me a little bit about, because I don't know you quite as well, tell me a little bit about who you are, what
hashtag.
Who you are, what you what you do. Hard. I know that you write for Curator Online,
correct?
Which is a terrific food and beverage site.
Thank you.
I know that you are. Jesus, this is really tough having two. Maddie, I don't know that we can do this with two women anymore.
You
I was going to say, no, I was going to say, I know that you're in bed with a lot of the best chefs in town, but you're also not allowed to fucking say that. I know that you are
you're
close to,
crowd,
you are close to a lot of the really the A-list guys in town. So tell me a little bit about Curator and what else you do.
Well, you know, everybody asks me, well, what do you do? And, you know, are you a blogger? Are you this? I'm like, no, I've been eating for 42 years. that's my expertise. I love it. I cook for my family, and that's really it. But I've had such a mad love affair with those who could cook. My mother was Filipino and refused to let me in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Just hands off, out of the kitchen. You'll never be able to, you know, stay out of my way.
Right.
So I fell in love with this sort of enamored cuisine being put on my table. And I ate very well as a young child. My mom cooked really well. We ate out a lot. I experienced tons of different types of food. And as I got older, I went into the hospitality business and, you know, in the hotel and fell in love with the
what
food
hotel?
And the chefs at the Estancia La Jolla.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we had some great chefs come through.
Not exactly the Motel 6, is
no,
it?
No, not at all. You know, and I was doing the marketing. I left there. I did open up my own firm. It was a boutique marketing and PR firm. And, of course, I went straight after chefs and restaurants and other hospitality industries because that was my passion. And so because I eat around town a whole lot and because I participate in some of the events that both of you had participated in prior, it just led right into me and my blog obsession. So, you know, it's been an easy ride. I get to eat well. I get to write well. And I get to travel and focus on what I absolutely love.
Are you still running the PR firm?
I am.
You
I
are?
Am.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for a Wayward podcast?
Absolutely. Anything for my friends, you know, but that's one of the wonderful things is because the blog Curator actually feeds into what I do for my day job, it all blends into fun.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether it's my day job or my fun job, it's all one. It all.
Well, you know, the overwhelming theme of all the guests that we've had on this so far, and it's been chefs, it's been craft beer guys, it's been a bartender who is also an entrepreneur. A photographer who is now a blogger and a podcaster. Every one of us takes this really, really seriously, but every one of us does this because it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's too much about food and beverage that really sucks if you're not having a good time. Because it's not the hours, and it's certainly not the fucking pay. but you have to have a good time while you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Well, and you know, and I think what's really nice about San Diego is I've seen in this last 3 years that I have been fully immersed. I mean, with, you know, Chad White taking up a whole lot of my time in this last year and things, you know, being fully immersed, I've just found that it's just a great camaraderie. The community of chefs here is really,
it's
outstanding and it's different. So I think that it makes it easy for all of us to really enjoy what we do.
I agree. And I'll say, you know, I'm not a trained chef. My skill is very, very low. I just like to eat, and I know I cook what I like to eat, basically.
There you go.
And other people seem to like that.
And your skill, by the way, young lady, is not really low.
Thank you. But what I was going to say was whenever I participate in these big dinners with all these chefs, I'm completely intimidated. I feel like I'm totally out of my fucking element. Hope the F word is fine because there's no mute button.
Really? Really? Clearly,
you
you're not a fan of the show.
Have you looked to who you are sitting with?
And I feel
this show
like
was founded on the F word.
And when we do these dinners, it makes me feel so good, and my skill gets better because I'm around all these people who are great at what they do, and everyone is willing to help each other. And when I'm standing there and I'm like, fuck, how am I going to plate this? I'm next to all these, like, Chad White and his, like, dollops of all this shit and swipes and smears and, you know, it looks amazing. And I'm like, well, I've got this sausage and some shit, and how do I do this? And everyone jumps in and goes, you know, how about this? And I'm like, yes, thank you. And, you know, and it changes my whole perspective on how I want to run my business. And when we do more dinners, you know, it kind of, it helps. And
even,
it's awesome.
Even back to our first episode with Hannes and Rich, Hannes Cavan, Rich Sweeney. Hi, boys. Even as accomplished as chefs as they are, Hannes even mentioned, I learn something every time we do one of these things. I particular, in my own set of skills, I know I make food that tastes good, but I make more comfort food.
Totally.
My presentation skills, I look at some of the plates these guys come up with, and I don't know whether I just want to paint it or eat it. I mean, fortunately, you can kind of do both.
Right.
But I learn better presentation being around these guys every time I do one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly creative. And you know, thinking outside the box, and I mean, what they sometimes even use for plating.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, a wood block? Awesome. Like, who would have thought, you know, part of a tree trunk I could serve a steak on? Okay. It looks fucking rad. All right, let's get in this.
Yeah. I loved the dinner that all of us kind of did together.
Which one's looking at it?
No.
Heavenly Hog.
Oh, that was so much fun.
We did a dinner, a pork-centric dinner, Heavenly Hog Fall Pig Out, which was
ten courses.
That was
of
crazy.
Really committed eating.
I have to say, none of you understand what a tasting menu is. I'm just going to say that right now. Because
mine was small. Come on.
I mean, Hannes came out
mine was
with
one shrimp.
A giant shrimp with
lots of stuff. And linguica and other stuff, too. But.
I mean, Hannes came out with number one, and it was like 4 inches by 4 inches block of stuff.
Wait, are we still talking about the dish? Or what did Hannes come out with?
4 inches by 4 inches. Sherry, you're a lucky woman.
You know, after six courses, I was busting at the seams. But it was phenomenal. And for the pricing that we did it for, et cetera. But what was awesome was you guys in that back kitchen, it's not what the guests got to see, but it's what I got to see that was fucking amazing.
Well, that's because ten courses also had ten courses at the bar in the kitchen below.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Plastic serving cups.
Ramekins.
I believe we were drinking out of ramekins. That's correct.
Awesome.
Well, it's like in comedy. The story in the green room is always as good as the story on stage.
Right.
For sure.
And that group of people, it's so fun. And you probably, that was like the second or third time you've been around that particular group.
Mm-hmm. I've done individual one-offs, but all of you guys together, whew.
I always say that I have a core group of people that I enjoy not only cooking with, but I just enjoy hanging out with.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
And you get us all in one area. Oh my God. It's brutal. It is absolutely
brutal. Oh yeah, we're ripping on each
brutal.
Other. I mean, for as many times as people are helping each other with their plating or just prepping, we're just as easily going, what the hell did you do to your hair, Mikkel?
Yeah.
Hi, Mikkel.
Wow, I thought Color Me Bad broke up.
Well, certainly not for the stranger in the group, because they would never understand your humor as a group.
Right.
It's almost like you're dating someone in the family, and you walk in, and you're like, what the fuck did I just
walk
into?
Exactly. And
because we don't care who you are.
Yeah,
you can stand there, because we're still going to do our shit.
And what's really funny is we have such a wide age group. It's nice because the younger guys are really concerned about their dish, and the older people in the group that have had more experience.
You're not that old, Carl.
Oh, I am. Trust me, I am.
Notice I didn't say anything.
But the older people in the group, we're more worried about the event as a whole.
Yeah.
And you know, if it looks like people have it handled, we're downstairs drinking.
Yeah.
Or out back smoking or whatever. And it's such a good mix of people.
Absolutely.
There was an awful lot of shenanigans going on in the basement of that joint.
Yes.
Where all the liquor was.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say,
and
saw your
rickety
your
set of stairs going up. Didn't make it much easier. I thought I was going to eat shit at least four times.
I do it every day.
Well, all right. Where are we at time-wise, Maddie? Is it shot time?
We are
was I not
6 minutes shy of shot time.
I have to fill for 6 minutes?
Well, okay. I thought shot time was at the 20-minute mark.
It is at the 20-minute mark.
Then we got 6 minutes.
We got 6 minutes. So how did you get started, Marie? Mm-hmm. How did you get started in PR?
Well, because I was doing all the marketing for the hospitality at excuse me, at Estancia, I was always getting hit up by a bunch of friends of mine to assist with the PR and the marketing for mm-hmm. nonprofit organizations. And so when I left, I opened my firm to really focus on nonprofit organizations. As much as I love them,
you know, you haven't dropped have the money. Name of your firm yet.
Oh, sorry. Kalem Marketing.
Well, you got to use these opportunities. You know, there are upwards of 13 people listening to this podcast.
All of which already know who I am.
Yeah, hi, Mom. No, I don't let my mother.
I know.
I don't let my mother listen to my podcast.
Yeah, we won't be posting that on Facebook.
Yeah, I dropped the F-bomb far too much for the delicate sensibilities of my mother.
I think that's why she hasn't accepted my friend request.
There you go.
She knows better.
Well, anyway, so, you know, I mean, I was doing a lot in the nonprofit world, and with the nonprofit world, I created this website. There's no profit, and I created a website because the smaller nonprofits that a lot of us have done events for, you know, by the way, you mm-hmm. guys have both contributed a lot to the nonprofit world already, but a lot of those nonprofits didn't have a place to put their news because, you know, the big news outlets like the big names.
Mm-hmm.
So I created this little website. It was called Giving Scene a long time ago, and what I found over a two-year period was everybody was doing food events. So all of a sudden, I was covering food events for the nonprofits. And then it was just food constantly. I was getting hit up constantly to, you know, showcase all these food and wine festivals. I'm not the kind of girl that will say no.
Yeah.
How did I get the hashtag easy?
Actually, both of my guests are fairly easy to make.
So that's kind of how I rolled along. And
you were getting hit up, and then once you met all the chefs, you were probably continuously getting hit on.
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily have to deal with that because, you know, everybody kind of knew I was attached for the last 20 years to my husband.
Yeah, like that would stop a chef.
Well, after the drinks, for sure, no. But
she's trying to be so polite.
I know. Isn't it wonderful?
We're not so back in the kitchen.
That's why we have you here to balance.
Oh, I'm balancing.
Yes.
Salty with the sweet.
There you go. Well, but, you know, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I go around. I shoot what you guys do in the kitchen. It still fascinates me all these years later. I love it. I get to smell everything, and I get to take a picture of it, and then I get to taste it. You know, mm-hmm. who has a better job than me? I don't have to make it.
Right.
I don't have to clean the dishes.
Yeah, you get to just come to the party.
Yeah, that's right. I just get to watch you guys do your thing, and I don't have to stress about it.
Put on something nice and go out and have a time.
That's right. You know, and honestly, it's not for me. You know, writing for the blog isn't about trashing somebody. I'm not a Yelp. That's not my goal.
Fuck Yelp.
You know, I mean, if shit doesn't turn out right for a day, hell, we all have bad days.
Yeah.
I just don't write. That's the end of my, you know, that's, somebody else will do that. You know, Yelp will do that all day long. Somebody else has got that market cornered.
You'd rather be positive.
That's
which is
right.
Great.
Well, and not only that, it's just, it's a very realistic approach. So many people who liken themselves to being a food journalist or a critic there are ups and downs. Yeah. There are good days and bad days. There are services that I've been through that, thank God, we pulled it off, mm-hmm. and the guests weren't particularly aware. They made them know something was off,
mm-hmm.
where it was a complete shit show in the kitchen.
Oh, I've been there a million times.
Yeah, where you go, where you look at your staff and you go, you guys are all idiots, and you're lucky if I don't fire you tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But fortunately, between your service staff and what you're able to do, you kind of pull it off, but it's definitely not your best. And that happens in every facet of life. Doesn't seem like we get a break on that, though.
Yeah. And I've been in the service industry a long time. Before I was there, I was, you know, I owned a coffee shop in Rancho Santa Fe, and it was called Fairbanks Coffee. And after that, I moved away, thought I was done with smelling like coffee for the rest of my life, and I was poached by, when I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, I was poached by Starbucks to open a few stores and mm-hmm. be their only diversity, by the way, for the whole Midwest. Yeah, which, you know, but it was an entry into knowing that you can't please everybody all the time, but all you can do is stay positive, and if they choose to come
absolutely.
Back because that's what you gave them, then fantastic. Other than that,
absolutely,
we all have bad days.
You know what, there is nothing wrong with having a bad day,
mm-hmm.
getting called out about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, if I didn't do something well enough for you to not enjoy it, then tell me about it. However, there are a few things more unforgivable to me than not giving a place a second chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you go the second time and it's still just as bad, okay, then you think about writing it off. Yeah. But you can't just go in once, have a negative experience, and not do it again.
Absolutely. Yeah, but the other thing that I
probably explains why I've been married four times, but you know.
But I think one of the things too is, hell, don't people recognize delivery is everything? Mm-hmm. You know, even if you have the shittiest of experiences, there's a way to deliver that message so that it's actually helpful.
Right.
You start ranting at somebody, everybody shuts down. Yeah, and nothing happens.
Well, I think there's a degree of sensitivity that's been lost Absolutely. Through reality TV. And, you know, we watch these shows and people are going ape shit and they're acting like complete lunatics. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at our candidates that are running for fucking office. Like, everything has just turned into a circus now.
Right.
And
it's entertainment value.
And and you go to a service like Yelp and mm-hmm. you see, was this useful or funny? And mm-hmm. you're like, yeah. Neither. This person, you know, clearly just has an opinion about something they didn't like, and it's not even, you can't even say it's factual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, the thing I don't like is they don't, it's like they're trying to maintain their journalistic integrity, all that, but there's no backstory. They don't know that this is a mom and pop operation. They don't know how this.
That three people called out for
the
service.
This shitty Yelp review. You know? May affect, like Karen, may affect a small business owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, you know, they can be pretty ridiculous sometimes. There was one, well, I've gotten many, which I just think Yelp is ridiculous, but there was one that I got that I laughed at, and it said something like, we do a pounded chicken breast mm-hmm. on our brunch menu. It's like a chicken and waffles kind of play on. And this person posted, their small bar is a bunch of liars. They have chicken fried steak. This isn't chicken breast. And I'm like, I read this and I started laughing. And I'm like, you want to come in my kitchen and see my guys sweating in my hot kitchen pounding out chicken breast?
Right.
No, you know, you're an asshole.
Well, you know, even here at Cone of Silence Studios inside the beautiful Madhouse Comedy Club, which is the other shameless plug I have to do every
week. It's weird being in the daytime in here.
It is odd being in here. In the summer, when the sun goes down later, try performing comedy when it's still light.
Hopefully
that's just bizarre.
Hopefully I will be.
It's bizarre. But, you know, we're an independent. We're not buoyed up by a big network of clubs. And and Yelp reviews are bad for us. They really are. It's not like it doesn't affect people's income. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, and it affects people just coming out. If you don't like the food here, that's great. But it also affects the comedians, most of whom are working for free. It's got a trickle-down effect that most Yelpers either, number one, don't know about, or number two, just don't give a shit about.
Right.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. They're, you know, they're just looking for, it's almost like those chronic, like, selfie takers and Instagrammers. It's like,
oh, right. I'm sorry.
They're just looking for the next picture.
Oops.
I didn't mean you. I meant, like, other people, not like you.
Other than
me. Yeah, people that aren't in this room. But, you know, they're looking for their next picture, they're looking for their next whatever, and it's the same thing when someone goes to a restaurant. They're looking for their next Yelp review. Instead of just experiencing it and saying, man, this was awesome.
They want to be called a super Yelper.
Or elite. Elite, right?
Elite Yelper.
Yeah, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, which means you can bitch better than everybody else. Well,
my menus actually say at the top, printed, we Yelp away, nerds, we don't give a shit.
That's spectacular. And on that note, it's shot time.
Finally.
We are drinking, what are we drinking today? We are drinking Captain Morgan's Private Stock.
Cheers, girl.
And this is a departure from the typical whiskey that we usually do. Maybe Maddie won't make that weird noise when he drinks it this time.
I've been trying to get down the... you
that
ever
is
seen
nice.
Easy Rider?
Mm-hmm.
Wherever Jack Nicholson takes a shot from the bottle and he does that thing with his arm. Start doing that every time I take a shot.
Is that
just like a twitch?
He does a weird twitch from his arm and he kind of like... I'm not... Okay, this is getting edited out.
You're not editing.
Maybe you
that
need
anymore.
A video blog.
I know. I was
we don't
say.
Edit.
You need a video pod or something. Is that
23
what that's called?
Minutes.
That's actually really good.
That's really nice.
That's delicious. It's very vanilla.
We'll have another one of those.
I was going to say, are we on one shot?
No.
It's shots and a beer.
Shot and a beer.
Really? Really? You've seen my body of work, haven't you?
Yes.
Actually, you've seen my body, which indicates
physically or
which indicates that there's not one of anything in here. Yes, sir.
My question with Yelp, though, is What are your thoughts on businesses that artificially improve their Yelp rating through promotions?
By paying.
Well, paying or 50% off if you know give a positive Yelp review next time
you
stop in.
How do you track that?
I personally think that it exacerbates the problem.
Yeah.
It gives these Yelper idiots
way
more power
that?
than they
yeah.
deserve.
Why would you want, I think it could be a good website if it wasn't looking for the most clever and demeaning thing.
It started off as a beautiful idea.
Yes.
People just recommending things, and it turned so
well. One of our businesses is not the only thing that turned bad. Facebook forums, we won't mention any, but you know, can tend to be a little strenuous to read or be singled out in.
Yeah, and as a business owner, when I'm in those, mm-hmm. I'm reading them from a business owner standpoint, but also from a consumer, because yeah. I like to mm-hmm. eat and drink also. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you read those. I know, I'm not much of a drinker, but but sometimes you read those.
The last time I saw you, I'll let you get to your point. I'm going to let you finish.
I'm not going to remember it now. Go ahead.
Like on
you. The last time you saw me.
Last time I saw you, you were limping.
That's
and I
not
said,
true.
I said, KB, what happened? And you went drunk. And that's all you said. You didn't tell me what happened. You just said drunk. And as alarming as that answer was, I accepted the reason and went, okay.
I might have tripped and fallen into some vodka.
That might have been it.
That might have been it. No, I've had a series of really ridiculous injuries.
Well, you are, as much as you are a great drinker, because I've been drinking with you, you are not the most graceful drinker in the world.
Thank God for
you fall down, go boom quite a bit, actually.
I do not, actually. There's been a couple injuries that had nothing to do with drinking. Thank you very much.
All right, so you were talking about...
I don't know what the hell I was talking
I
about.
I don't remember either.
Oh, my goodness. I'm
I was telling you...
You were the voice of reason on this.
I know what I was talking about.
And now you've fallen down.
There was one year... When I was still owner of Hamilton's Tavern, where we got this review, and it was 1-star review, and it said, "Me likey booze." Well, you know what, asshole? That's not our license. So, what the fuck? Don't review a place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's
me
likey the booze. Like, something just ridiculous like that. And you're like...
You know he thought he was being funny, though.
Exactly. Yeah. You got the check mark for,
yeah.
Is this useful or funny? And people thought it was funny. Yeah. But, you know...
It is kind of funny.
For our business, you know...
You knew that, didn't you, Carl?
No.
But this was early on. This was early on in Yelp, mm-hmm. when you, you know, weren't sure how you felt about it. And then you get a review like that, and you're like, this thing fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know, this shouldn't even be on there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right, and they published it anyway.
Well, yeah, there's no taking anything down.
Yeah.
It's, not if you're a business. It's insane. It's
I actually had one, which I will not say what it was mm-hmm. about, because there's people involved that I know. But I actually had, I know that sounds like it's a really great story, and I'll tell you off this thing. But there was one that was absolutely no truth to it whatsoever, and it was accusatory towards someone in a sexual manner. Mm-hmm. And I actually found the girl who posted it on Facebook, mm-hmm. approached her, and I was like, can you tell me what this is about? Because this is really bad reputation
right.
for my business, if this mm-hmm. is true. And we emailed back and forth, and I sent her some pictures and made her ID the person that she was claiming to mm-hmm. have gotten some sort of proposal, if you will, from.
Uh-huh. Right.
And indecent proposal. And she's like, it was this guy. And I'm like, well, that's not the person that you're calling out. So, you know, and I contacted Yelp, and they wouldn't do anything for me. I had to actually contact
her.
You're
kidding me.
And all I could think of was, you know, I don't want someone in my family to go, oh, yeah, this is my sister's place, and then the top
yeah.
review is some chick claiming
something
that you
yeah.
could potentially yeah. sue someone for. Yeah. And I was like, and she's like, oh, my bad, and I'm like, you suck.
Yeah, people
guys,
don't
oh my bad.
The
yeah, yes, I run a predatory establishment.
Yeah, and I got her to take it down.
Yeah,
you know, but
wow.
but I'm glad I read it.
Yeah,
but that's kind of bullshit.
You're listening to A Shot and a Beer, a proud member of the team at A Modern Profession Podcast. For other podcasts you might enjoy, information about live shows, or how you can get involved, please visit amodernprofession.com. Or check out the network on Twitter at @AModernPro, or on Instagram at @AModernProfession. Thank you for your continued support of the show and the network.
Okay, now we're back after a brief beer break and our bumper for our Modern Profession Network, which Maddie will insert here.
Is that what we're doing?
That's
because
what we're
we
doing
should have done
right
we,
now.
We really should have done an that. Outro.
Yeah, we should have.
Then we shouldn't have just stopped.
Well, you know.
I did not realize that was what we were doing.
That's the beauty of live podcasting or recorded
commercial.
Podcasting or whatever the fuck this is.
This is live
editing.
We don't edit.
Great. It's all organic.
Neither
do I. That's why we have the 13 listeners that we do.
So am I allowed to drink the shot once you
can.
Pour it?
You absolutely can. One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about with the current political climate, and this is not going to be a discussion of politics, but there is an awful lot being made about race, discrimination, exclusion. I've always maintained the attitude that the kitchen and the hospitality world may be one of the most, despite the debauched food and booze and sexual innuendo that a lot of people can't handle, I've always maintained that it's kind of a really fair world because it's
diverse for sure.
It's number one, it's diverse. Number two, the only things that matter in food and beverage, can you hold up your end or do you not hold up your end?
Absolutely. It's true.
I don't care if the guy
or girl
if the guy or girl doesn't share my political views, and I'm the least political person in the world. I don't care if they're gay or straight. I don't care if they're black, white, or brown, or Asian. You know what? Have my back in the saute station. Do your job.
Yeah.
Do your job. And at the end of the night, we all part as friends.
I agree.
Do you guys agree with that assessment?
Absolutely.
Or is that just an older, white, male, heterosexual... You know, looking at this through rose-colored glasses.
I absolutely agree with you. I'll say that I have encountered some business owners who think they, you know, again, this isn't my words, but I need a good Mexican, you know. And there is a stereotype that comes out of the kitchen with Mexicans being hard workers. I've had every race be a hard worker, and I've had Mexican be shitty workers. And as far as I'm concerned, there's, you know... It's the right person for the right job, and there is no, exactly what you said, is no discrimination from me on any part.
As much as I love him, I think a lot of the Mexican thing came from Anthony Bourdain, who voiced rather...
Not Donald Trump? I thought it was Donald Trump.
Rather dramatically and accurately that many of the restaurants, no matter what the... ethnicity or theme of the restaurant in New York, the vast majority of the cooks were Mexican.
Yeah. You think that applies to San Diego?
It definitely applies to San Diego.
Okay. I mean Anthony Bourdain.
No, I mean just as far as kitchen staffing. I think there's that stereotype that got planted in people's heads that these guys are superstars.
I'll be honest with you, I disagree. I think that San Diego and California and maybe some other states saw it as cheap labor, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us that own businesses and run them just went, no, these guys fucking kick ass.
Right.
I'm
going
to pay them as much as I possibly can
to
keep them
to keep them here.
Yeah.
Or keep anybody here, not them. I don't mean to sound like an asshole.
And you're exactly right. I mean, I worked in the
hotel.
I worked
in
a hotel.
We're always going to sound like an asshole. Well, good luck.
I worked in a hotel where I had what we lovingly referred to as robo Mexicans, guys who were just absolute rock stars, and then we had guys who just weren't very good and were lazy but I've seen it in every race and age and gender. Absolutely. And I think the kitchen and the restaurant industry kind of self-polices.
I think so, too.
People who don't hold up their end typically don't last.
Well, no one wants to work with them.
No.
At all.
They don't.
Day in and day out, you know, you're working your ass off, especially if you work on the line and you're busy and someone's not pulling their weight. You know, you get sick of that. Yeah. And hopefully you have a manager or an owner or someone above you that listens to you and helps you out. Otherwise, I know this from experience, you end up losing your top people because you want to be fair and you want to keep someone on. You're like, they'll get it, you know, and you go to talk to them and they're like, sorry, I'm working as hard as I can. And you want to be compassionate about that. But then you end up losing your top guys because they're like, fuck this place. Like, you know, you're not paying me enough to deal with that guy.
Right.
I'm doing his work. And I, you know, that was a learning curve for me, for sure.
Yeah, people have enough work lumped upon them without having to do somebody else's.
Absolutely. Myself included, as I bartend and,
and cook.
Do Pot Pie Tuesday. Plug.
Well, I think one of the disconnects, too, you know, happens to be the kitchen is a world of its own from what I've seen. Right. I mean, you guys have your own communication style.
I don't know what you're talking
about. That's being nice. You know, and that doesn't necessarily translate into the front of the house all
Absolutely
the time.
Not.
And I think that one of the pieces that I have seen through working with the restaurants is that if the back of the house management doesn't understand that that communication style has to change when conversing with the front of the house management, shit falls apart.
It's one of the biggest. It has been one of the biggest fall downs of my career at a lot of different places that I've been to where I speak to restaurant managers like I talk to my kitchen guys.
There absolutely has to be synergy.
And it's the one thing that I've learned as I've gotten older is you can't do that shit.
Well, if you're handing off a plate of food to the person that you just called an asshole and get their head out of their ass and they got to go deliver that food, your food's not being delivered with love.
Right.
Right. You know, and that's kind of one of the things. But the other thing that I've noticed is, you know, I keep looking around and I love you, Carl, but man, the girls don't get nearly as much play as the boys do.
Depends.
As the chefs.
Depends how loudly you speak up, maybe.
As an overall. And you watch morning TV, too.
Part of that.
You know, it's just, we don't see a lot of the gals out there just like, you know, we have some phenomenal female chefs in this town, like Karen.
But I think you have to get involved. And
yes.
I'll tell you this, and I'll try not to get too womany on you, but before I went into owning businesses, I worked in a construction firm. Construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for a very strong woman who was worked her way up to executive vice president for a huge multi-million dollar construction management firm. And what I learned from her was that you fucking put your boots on and you go to work and you kick ass. And there should be no reason for anybody to say you're not as good as someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that. And so I've kind of applied that to my life, and I think that if I want something, I need to go get it. I need to ask for it, just like a guy would do. And I've seen women in many industries kind of push their way forward because they're a woman, and I don't agree with that. You know, I think you should work hard, and what you should do should make sense and have quality to it. And if it doesn't, you're in the same boat as a dude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been through having worked in hotels for years and years and years. You always go through diversity training. You always go through sexual harassment training. You always go through, you know, how to speak to people. But they're in the industry, and like Karen works in this brutal industry. Mm-hmm. She worked in a construction industry. You have to. I would never ever tell any woman to not notice or not feel real sexual harassment. Never. I have bounced a lot of clowns out of my operations who do that sort of thing. But there is a day-to-day chatter that you have to just kind of turn it into white noise and just it's bullshit and it's macho posturing.
But I
hate it, but you can't fold like a lawn chair anytime anybody says something harsh.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to, you know, my line cooks talk badly about me, I'm sure.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sure of it. I've heard them. I've actually participated in it. But it's clutter.
But I don't think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it's so much sexual harassment, you're saying, as just advancement in your career.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
So my point is, like, you know, if there's women that want to do that, they just need to speak up and have their...
Yeah.
Have, you know, what they're being praised for, what they're being included in, be based on their work.
Well, I'm thinking about, for instance, that Heavenly Hog dinner that we did. God, I was so proud of that event. You know, we had Ami, we had Karen,
and we had Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Rosanna.
Rosie.
You know, but we had these strong women in a kitchen putting their head down, putting out phenomenal food. And then we had seven men. You know, mm-hmm. and not saying that any of that was bad. I'm just saying it was fucking awesome to have three women in there
absolutely.
Kicking ass, making great food.
Absolutely.
End of story.
But I think part of that is the kind of core that we've kind of built as a
sure.
as a friendship
yes.
and camaraderie. So that wasn't to exclude anybody by any means.
Right.
You know, I
yeah.
think it was just I was honored that I was asked. But you know, it's I know it's because of our camaraderie.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, back to your original point, you're right. A lot of women have a lot of difficulty pushing through. But a lot of that really is simply a numbers game.
Yeah.
There are
a lot more men.
There are simply
you're right.
a lot more men. I mean, and that's not an indictment of female
mm-hmm.
chefs. I have one on this show. I adore many of them. I think they are an unbelievably unknown and hugely talented group of women who aren't getting the recognition, but by simple percentage,
yeah.
it's
you're
a
right.
very it's a smaller part of our industry. I would probably venture to say it's 70-30.
Now, has anybody
I mean,
ever
that the Heavenly Hog dinner,
yeah,
seven
exactly.
men, three women.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
would say
not
that.
To say we couldn't have staffed more women,
yeah.
but like Karen said,
it's our
group of friends.
Right.
But I think that's fairly representative of just the raw numbers of it.
Yeah. Sure.
You know,
oh, God.
And I find
our show's going down the tubes. We,
I hate it when you make a point and you're
serious.
Right, Carlson.
We should have actually just kept this to drinking and sex.
well,
but
I can lighten it up and say, you know, there would probably be more women if they weren't on their period.
Yeah, yeah, because that'll help. That'll help. I'm going to have the PMS
Never
lobby
mind.
Coming out against
you
me
You just
now.
Lost four listeners. Your subscriber
you know,
list
you know
is...
What, you know,
is that 30%?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I lose four listeners, that's a percentage
lost,
drop.
Yeah, 3.5 people.
There you go.
Jesus. Where'd this one go?
I have no... I'm staying out of this. We started talking about women and
How
cooking.
How do you feel
and
about
I,
women?
Wonderful, great, fantastic.
Swipe left.
Chicken.
Swipe left, tenderoni.
All right. All right, you know what? On this note, since I've lost 30% of my listenership, let's do another shot.
I was curious. I was kidding about the period thing.
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't kidding about the listenership.
See, I only have to take half a shot because I've been drinking the whole time.
Okay.
All right, so can I ask a question?
No, you cannot.
So, Carl,
what's
what
up?
The hell are you up to?
What do you mean, what am I up to?
Well, you're doing this, you're doing that. I mean, you know, I haven't seen... This is kind of, you know, we haven't seen each other since... What was the last event?
Do you want me to speak
the
for
pig
you?
Event.
He's
what
been
are you guys
transitioning to a woman for the past 6 weeks.
Yes. Yes, I am.
How's
I'm,
that?
I'm
it
going,
doesn't
I,
look
I,
like it's working out for
I,
you, Carl.
I'm going to be a less attractive Caitlyn Jenner, which is really going to be kind of difficult because he's got that bar set pretty low. I'm good. I'm... We are getting ready to kind of develop our front room here at the club into an Italian-themed kind of restaurant.
Cool.
We're going to do the same thing with the outer patio. We still have the club menu in the club. We are dropping a new menu for that in the middle of March. I'm still getting up, doing stand-up as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing. Oh, shut up! I am not going to the open
as
mic tonight.
As much as you can.
Oh, is that tonight?
Open mics every night.
Maybe I'll stick around. You know I have material, right?
Until midnight.
Well, okay, maybe not tonight. I'll be awesome.
There's going to be another story.
There's going to be something broken.
Karen, how'd you lose your arm? Drunk? Well, okay.
Drunk. Stand up.
But no, I've been. Getting up in on shows, and this is actually we're doing this every week. This is episode 5, and it's what's really great about this podcast is I am connecting with people that I haven't seen in a while. First show was Honest and Rich. I haven't seen either of those guys for probably 6-7 weeks. I haven't seen you since Heavenly Hog.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you since a couple weeks ago
I came to
at
the
small bar.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Because we are planning the Five Chefs Society.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Right? That I just woke up this morning and went, oh, fuck, that's next week. And it's at my place.
You and I are so very much alike.
How am I not?
About
yeah,
that.
I'm not busy at all.
Yeah, we planned this event, and I was like, this week, I was like, I guess I had to start doing stuff.
Well, it was funny because, like you said,
call.
We sold out. And like
I was gonna say,
well, like you said, we sold out in 24 hours, and that was like 4-5 months ago.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And it was like,
anything,
oh shit!
It wasn't anything we had to think about.
No, I was like, okay, that's cool. And now I'm like, what are my plates? I think I need to go taste that beer again.
So what's the next event that you guys are going to do? I mean, I'm feeling a little left out here. You guys are doing this thing next week.
Well,
I didn't get an invitation.
You are the in case of emergency break
come?
Glass.
Yeah, you can come vlog it.
Come.
There you go. I'll take my pictures.
But it's the Five Chefs Society. It's
who are the five chefs?
The five chefs. Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know
did
what?
I just take
you know
over?
What? She
I
just
apologize.
Took over the show. I'm just going to
say creator shotnabeer.com.
Yeah,
she's doing a much better job than we are. So.
Curator,
I'll stop working.
Curator presents a shot in a beer.
She'll invoice you tomorrow.
Curator online. Yeah. I hope I don't end up too much in the hole on this.
Ooh, easy. Hashtag
oh, geez.
Easy.
Really? Really? You don't take the easy ones. I resisted calling you.
I would
you,
never get laid if I didn't.
I resisted calling you easy earlier, even though it came out poorly anyway. The five chefs are myself, KB, Karen Blair,
okay.
Jeff Benia, Rich Sweeney, and
Tyson Blake.
Tyson
O'Brien.
Blake. Oh, how could I forget Tyson?
Wait,
he actually,
Tyson.
He
Tyson.
Actually is kind of taking the point on
organizing
this.
It
yeah.
more than we are, really.
Right.
Well,
and Tyson Blake from O'Brien's Pub.
Yes.
Okay. We are doing a dinner. This is the third. Five Chef Society.
It's my first Five
Your
Chef.
Your first.
Carl was actually, I hired him to cater my Christmas party for my staff in December,
yep.
And that's how it all came about.
Yep.
He saw my kitchen and went, hey, can we do this here? And I'm like,
well,
fuck yeah.
The thing about small bar is I was expecting a small kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and the kitchen is
decent.
Actually really, really big and really, really nice.
It's fairly decent.
So,
I'm going to come shoot the kitchen then.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
You really should.
Well, we
don't have the usual fat guys, so there's probably going to be room. Several of the fat guys aren't coming this time, so.
I won't even mention who I think you might be talking about.
Oh, Hannes knows who I'm talking about. Well, what? It's like a surprise that he's fat? It's like me looking in the mirror going, wow, you're skinny. Wow. But it's
the Jewish pork king.
Have you done Five Chef Society every year, once a year?
We have taken a, we took a hiatus after we stopped doing them at the Handlery.
Okay.
This is back after a 2-year absence. But we feature, it's Five Chef Society because we do it with Society Beers.
Okay.
And Society is, if you talk to all the chefs that have been involved and are involved in this, they're one of our favorite.
Society is I'm a huge fan.
They're spectacular.
Huge fan. Even when we had the infamous Pliny the Younger on tap,
mm-hmm.
I also had Roust About from Society. And
when
Younger was on, I would tell people, get this beer with it and taste it together.
Because, yep.
you know, I think it's great. And then even when people were swarming in to try to get the beer after, and I'm like, this one is fucking awesome. I'm sorry you missed the Younger, but this is a great beer.
This
Society's hands down one of my favorites.
Even from when they started, they got a reputation of doing things right.
Yeah.
And Doug and Travis they're very serious beer makers.
Well, they came from great backgrounds. The brewery in LA and Russian River, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
I mean, they studied under fantastic people, and it shows.
And they're a great mix. Doug is really the outgoing kind of loopy one. Travis is, if you talk to Travis, I think he's on a word quota for the month, and it's about 40. And he doesn't use.
Well, that's because Laura doesn't let him.
Well, yeah, but Travis doesn't say much, but what he says is really important and really impactful. They're a great company to partner with,
so
and they do things the right way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So one of the things I, as a blogger, can't get my head around is sort of this whole, because it's not my thing, is the beer-food pairing culture. mean, San Diego obviously is a hotbed for this type of thing, but
yeah.
Do you feel
it
like
has, I think it has displaced, for the most part, wine dinners.
Well, let me say one thing. I have been incredibly disappointed by many dinners that I've gone to where you have a chef who's not into beer, and they're given a list of beers, and they don't utilize that.
Okay.
And they just kind of make whatever the fuck they want to make and go, throw it with this. You know, chocolate cake with a, you know, with a stout or a dark beer. And you're like, come on. Like, you can have a lot of fun with this. You go balls out on a fucking wine dinner. Have fun with the beer. You can cook. I mean, you can cook with the beer, too. Well, and it kind of kills me sometimes when they don't take advantage of the opportunity to really grow their base, make something interesting.
Well,
so
what,
do you think
what bothers me
well
is... What's that?
Do you think the San Diego does a better job maybe of other cities?
I think they're doing better over the years. Mm-hmm. I've been in craft beer for a long time, and I've always done pairings. Mm-hmm. I learned how to do pairings. I'm pretty good at doing pairings, and I try to think outside of what... I try to think more contrasting than complementary, because complementary is always the easy way to go, always the easy way to complement something. Contrasting is what makes it kind of exciting to me.
Yeah.
What I think is... We've finally gotten out of the, hey, I'm doing this menu, bring me a list of beers to pair with that.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
We, and I have always done my menus this way, which was a little weird to some of the brewers when I first started talking to them. I always do the beer first.
Yeah, what do I have available? And then I'm going to pick and choose which beers I want, and I'm going to make my pairings from
for
what...
For Five Chef... We just basically tasted a bunch of beers.
We basically got drunk.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even have a plan.
The truth comes
I'm
out.
Drinking the truth serum right
we
now.
We didn't have a plan for the order even. The order just kind of grew organically over people drinking something and going, I have an idea, I'll take that beer. Which was absolutely terrific. Because now you're going to get people who are going to compliment. You're going to have a course that where it's going to contrast. Jesus Christ. I shouldn't drink with you guys. But
we should do it more often.
We should do it more often, actually. But it's one of those things where it kind of even grew even more organically than it normally does because we didn't go in with an idea of who was going where.
Well, see, that's very important to me. And I said it when we did our taste, when we got drunk. I said it when we did our tasting. It's very important to me to not do the traditional light to dark beer tasting.
Right.
I think it's really important to shake up your palate and change it around because otherwise your palate just gets overloaded with flavor and you kind of, I think you stop tasting things.
Well, and society is also really concerned about really balanced beers. You're not going to get a beer that is so over hopped that it's going to destroy the next course.
But even if you did, I think it's important to have a beer or a pairing right after that's completely different, you know, that's maybe more vinegary or maybe more hoppy or something that just completely changed your palate. When I first started getting into beer, I didn't like sour beer, and now I love sour beer. And one of the reasons is because I was really big into double IPAs, and I would just drink them all the time. And your palate gets wrecked. I mean, it just gets taken over, and you don't taste anything else. Drink a sour in between a double IPA.
It's
completely wipes, total palate cleanser, completely wipes it clean, and then go back to a different double IPA. And it's interesting.
It's the same thing as like if you're doing a very formal dinner and you have that intermezzo course.
I think it's fun.
Where you have like a lemon sorbet to cleanse the palate.
Right.
Set you up for the next
course. Exactly. And I think people are just starting to discover that. You know, San Diego kind of evolved into beer, you know, there were breweries popping up, and maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, there were only a handful of breweries in town. There was like maybe seven, and now there's a fucking 118.
Oh, we're the
which
capital.
Is bananas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, it's like the pairing stuff has just completely evolved with the city. It's like we've gone from, you know, starting with a light beer and cheese,
and
going to, you know, a stout and chocolate.
Yeah,
we've progressed, and you know, I did a dinner with Avery Brewing in September. It was my first beer dinner by myself ever, and my second course was a salad, and it was paired with a porter.
Well, do you have any I just went to a dinner, and this is purely not from a chef side. This is from a consumer side. Mm-hmm. I went to a dinner. I had such high expectations because of who the dinner was for, and everything about every single course was contrasting. So much so, I just could not. The food to me was not great, and neither was the wine. It was wine, it wasn't beer.
Well,
but because it was so much contrast,
if you don't have a complimentary in there, there's
something has to tie it together.
Everything's at war.
Yeah,
and your palate will shut down.
Not necessarily, but there should be something that ties it together.
So it was really hard for me as a non-chef and just a person that loves to
eat. They just threw shit together.
And I don't, and it sounded as if, okay, so at the end of the event, they got up there, and I think that they intended to have things combat each other because of the theme of the whole thing. And I can't give too much away because otherwise, you know, it'll give away who it was.
I'm going to look at your Facebook check-ins.
So it was really...
I can't read lips.
It was just really hard because I had such high expectations, and I showed up, and the price point was not easy for, you know, I don't have a ton of money to throw at these events that I go to. And, you know, and honestly, I know when people say $60, and I know your next event is $60, it's not easy to do $60 two, three times a week.
No, it isn't.
It's just not. But there are that many events on our roster on a regular basis, and we all know that. It's always out there.
In my opinion, I think that more places should undersell and over-deliver on what they're serving until they gain a reputation of they nail it every fucking time.
Yeah.
We did the first Heavenly Hog. Mm-hmm. I believe the price was $85, and it was a tough sell, despite the fact that the beer was curated by Nate Sirocco.
Right.
It was 10 chefs.
Who
was 10 courses.
Nate is a king.
It was at La Valencia, so it was at a really nice place. But $85 on a Thursday night or whatever night it was is a hard nut to swallow.
It is.
I think what's cool about the Heavenly Hog is...
and I saw that look.
Is using the entire... is the fact that we're taking a whole hog, really, and breaking down all the different portions and all different ways you can use it.
It is a unique event.
The best thing about it for me was I would have never, before I got awful, I never would have considered using.
What does that even mean?
And your event, your dish was amazing.
I never would have considered using liver in linguiça. Mm-hmm. I never would have considered using kidneys or lung in linguiça. But you can.
But
and that was one of the things that was illustrated for me. I was like, holy crap, this works. I don't know why I didn't do this before.
Well, what's exciting about that is that we're using every part, which is what you hope every business does, is that they're getting the biggest portion they have and using as much of it as they can. Instead of, you know, it's like the Indian way, right?
Yeah. Well, I just hope we can continue that one. That one is one that's near and dear to my heart.
It's really fun. Yeah. And there were some brilliant dishes at the last one.
And it's important. And it's important. I mean, I love you both, but Ami blew me away.
Ami's was fucking fantastic.
Right?
In fact, I want to get her recipe and be
I am Filipino,
so
I am a little biased.
Can I have figures on my bar menu?
That drove me crazy.
Hers were fantastic.
It was amazing. Yep.
I couldn't stop eating them.
There was a bowl
of them in the back of the kitchen. Maybe I was just drunk. I don't know. But where's those ears?
It was amazing.
Ears?
And that was kind of when myself, as a blogger who feels like she is a part of the community, really got to see.
Oh, you are part of the community.
Hey, you know, I try. I try to stay on the outskirts because I never want to get in your way. You all scare me in the kitchen. But, like, for Ami, like, I saw that dish and I ate that dish and...
She nailed it.
She did, but she nailed it, and she was so surprising. Like, that's what was cool, is
it
I didn't
amazing.
Know Ami before that dish,
mm-hmm.
and that
I
dish,
didn't either.
Like, put her on my map.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
That
she,
was amazing.
She blew me away with it. It was, it not only was it beautiful,
it was
but
out
it was,
of what I thought was her
it was
wheelhouse.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was
she
completely,
nailed it.
You know, and that's what's so cool about these dinners. I get that, you know, $60, $85, that's not within the realm of every single person on a regular basis.
No,
a lot of
us
have to sort of, you know, I'll go to this one, excuse me, I'll go to that one, but I can't go to every single one I got an invitation to. But that one, that Heavenly Hog one with Cook Pigs Ranch coming in and them really supporting everybody.
They're amazing.
Is incredible.
Have you ever visited their
No, I'm going for the
in
next
Kearney Mesa?
The next ranch. I'm actually going to the Open Ranch.
Oh, awesome.
Which
I still
is really
go up
cool.
there.
So I'm going to go on that event. I've talked to Christina and stuff. But, you know, I mean, we talk about local food. Fuck, nobody really understands local food unless you're standing in a fucking, you know, ranch in the middle of, like, pig shit, you know, and you get it, or you're at one of these events that you pay a high ticket price for, but then you get, oh, my God, they have taken care to really do things that I can't do at home.
Doing the Heavenly Hog, and, you know, when you make sausage, you have to incorporate fat. That's just, unless you want dry, shitty sausage.
Yeah. Right.
There, the fat back I got from them was, it was, without making too much of it, was a transformative experience for me, because I had never, ever seen pork fat that was that snowy white. The texture was such that if you rubbed it between your fingers, it would actually melt.
Wow. Which is perfection. It tells you how fresh it was.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I almost wanted to not make the sausage, cure my own lardo, and just blow off the dinner and go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. But just take it all.
You're evil, Mr. Burns.
But I just wanted, it was spectacular. And they make such good product, and they're great.
Well, they're doing it with love. And I think any business that does that is going to succeed, and they should stand out.
Well, and, you know, and at Curator, we do these, we call them food exploration dinners.
Right.
And the food exploration dinners are not, you cannot sign up for a goddamn food exploration dinner if you have a food allergy, if you're gluten-free, if you're a vegetarian.
Right. You're a foodist.
Like, I am. It's horrible. I'm sorry, but for this particular sect of dinners that I go to, I will come to your restaurant, and I'll say, okay, this is omakase. Nobody has an allergy.
It is a pain in the ass.
Nobody
when you do get that one request at a special dinner.
Yeah. Well, and I know I am the pain in the ass. That is my charm. But, you know, I go in and I say, hey, chef, this is all about you. You tell me what you want to make. Nobody here has any kind of issue with what you make. And I did it once or twice, and I brought a bunch of people from North County that really don't like to venture out of their zip code. And I brought them down to see Chad one day, Chad White at Comune, when Comune was open. And I said, Chad, you have free reign. And my whole thing at that dinner was simply to take these people and let them just give up any kind of perception that they had. And Coke came in.
And
with
had
their
go.
Pigs. And it was beautiful.
And then they yelped the shit out of it.
No,
just kidding.
They thought it was amazing because we didn't tell them what they had in specifics before they tasted it.
Right.
And, you know, we as humans have such an idea as to, we formulate a vision in our heads when we read something well before we taste it.
Yeah,
something.
Am I going to like that or not?
Yes. We have pig face, we have pig ears, and these are for relatively conservative people,
right?
Sure. You know, so when you do it that way, people really, you know, it's like giving somebody beef tongue. They love it until they find out it's beef tongue.
Right. I agree.
Well, hell,
I agree.
My daughter, who everybody on Facebook knows as Samich,
she sounds delicious.
She doesn't eat a lot of things, and I tell her the biggest thing downside for me: like what you like, don't like what you don't like. But you are shutting yourself off from a world of just wonderful things simply because of that preconceived notion that you're not going to like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Ladies, I hate to do this because this has been one of the more fun, and I have to tell you, you two broads drank more than every other set of guests.
You're lying.
No, I am not. Every other set of guests that have been on this podcast, this is the drinking that I was hoping to accomplish.
We like plurals
with this podcast.
Hashtag easy.
Where can we find you guys, Karen?
Small Bar.
You want to plug a little more than that, you goofball?
I'm at Small Bar in University Heights. Look for the sign that's over the street.
And you're at smallbar.com.
Smallbarsd.com.
Okay. And your Twitter handle?
My personal one is Karen What Now.
Shocking.
And my small bar one is Small Bar.
That's because drunk was probably already taken.
Okay. And my smaller one is Smallbarsd.
Okay. MTD?
Well, it's at Curator is my handle, and it's CUR8EUR. I know, I had to fuck it up for everybody. And then it's curator.com, which is CUR8EUR.com.
You want to plug the thing that actually brings you some money?
That would be kaelummarketing.com. And I got to fuck up that spelling to it. C-A-E-L-U-M marketing.com. But
women are so difficult.
I know.
And as always, we are at Shot in a Beer Pod. Wait a minute, what are we?
Wait, who drank the most in this one?
I don't know. It's probably still
at,
you.
At Shot in a Beer Pod on Twitter.
At Shot in a Beer Pod on Twitter. And if you want to email the show, it's shotinabeerpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you very much guys, for having
it
us.
It has been great.
A pleasure.
One final go round.
Cheers.
So cheers.
This isn't our last invitation, right?
Absolutely not. You guys will be back for the anniversary show.
There we go.
Last night I dreamt of flying over hillsides in the snow, and I drove down through the clouds to the valley there below. When the fields turned into parking lots, my freedom turned to dread. The ground rose up to greet me, and I jumped out of bed. You can fly, fly, fly off to anywhere you choose. You can try, 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 but eventually you'll lose. It seems there's always something trying to bring a good man down. I've no fear of falling, but I'm hated in the ground.
Thank you for listening to A Modern Profession Podcast. For more podcasts you might enjoy and information on live shows and how you can get involved, visit amodernprofession.com or check us out on Twitter @amodernpro or on Instagram @amodernprofession. Thank you.